My name is Lisa Walsh and I'm an actress and a theatre maker. I'm a founding member of the theatre company Talking Shop Ensemble. And Talking Shop Ensemble makes new work, so new theatre pieces. And our focus is making work about the here and the now.
My name is Sean Dunn. I'm a late addition to Talking Shop Ensemble. I study journalism in DCU.
Our first piece of work in the Fringe Festival in 2009, the piece was called Anne and Barry, What Kind of Time Do You Call This? And Anne and Barry are the CJ Fallon characters from our school readers. So we took that concept and juxtaposed it against what was happening in modern Ireland. So it was just the time of the collapse of property. And we had Anne growing up to be an artist and Barry who grew up to be a property developer. And we were just exploring modern Ireland, yeah, and how maybe our childhood dreams were very different to the contrast of our reality having just finished college. Our second production was called Fat, and Talking Shop Ensemble collaborated with two performers, Louise Malin and Dan Bergen. And Fat was an exploration of screen culture. So how screen culture was influencing us and people of our age and our society. So we explored the ideas of, I think our copy said something like skinny bitches, skinny jeans, skinny lattes.
I met the girls back in 2010, actually, it was. So I know them around 2 years now. And since then, we've kind of been working on shows that have a bit of a documentary type element, which I've borrowed from my studies in DCU.
There is Ashling Byrne, Una Murphy and Robbie Sinnott. And we all studied drama and theatre studies. So I specialised in acting and devising. And Ashling specialised a lot in community arts and devising. And Una's focus was directing and Robbie was design and directing.
So when I came on then, it was the first time that Talking Shop Ensemble was to collaborate with a writer, which was very, very interesting for all involved. Our first collaboration was a show called I'm a Homebird, It's Very Hard. The conversation kind of started in a smoking area with me and the director at the time of the company, Una Murphy, deciding that we wanted to make a show together about emigration. So from there, we started working on that show.
This is where we kind of worked out the techniques and the style of our pieces. And we focused a lot on bringing our personal experiences to the work we were making. So with Homebird, the topic is emigration, and we have experienced a lot of strands of emigration in our life. For me, it was my two sisters have emigrated. Tara is a year older than myself, and she is in Vancouver, Canada, and she's working with a wine company called Andrew Peller. She does a lot of graphic and marketing work over there. And my sister Tanya studied English in UCD, and then she went on to do a master's in drama and theatre studies, and she's now located in London, and she's working within the arts community over there as well.
Both of my sisters have emigrated to Australia, and my twin sister Claire, who studied social care, is over there now. She's living in Sydney, and my older sister Sarah, who is a trained accountant, is in Melbourne. So instead of coming up with different characters and a way to explore the subject that way, instead what we decided to do was take these stories and take this personal experience and apply it to a very loose documentary format that was also written and quite poetic at the same time. So for example, the show would start and we might do a reconstruction, which is me bringing my sister to the airport. Then we might recreate like a still from Lisa's family. And the show kind of went on in that way, starting a conversation in Dublin and then later across Ireland about the subject of emigration.
We make work about the here and the now, our personal stories and our connections to topics and themes that come up and that are important to us, such as emigration.
When we did start collaborating, it was very clear that what we wanted to make wasn't just, you know, flash in the pan pieces of entertainment, but more so work that can be considered in the future as something of a social document or an archive or something that we can use to refer back to a period. And, you know, hopefully with work like I'm a Homebird, It's Very Hard and Death of the Tradesman, in the future, in the same way as we do with, you know, big plays from the canon, like the O'Casey pieces, we can look back and go, well, that's what we were talking about then. I mean, obviously that's really, really ambitious to say that and to put in the same sentence as that. But that's what our impulse lies in. It's in creating something that's a document, not just something that you go and laugh at for half an hour and then go home.
Talking Shop Ensemble's second collaboration with Sean Dunn was Do You Read Me, which was presented as part of the Fringe Festival in 2011.
This was our second collaboration together, and something that we kind of like to refer to half jokingly as our difficult second album. We came together with the idea to make a show about psychic mediums. We were kind of seeing a lot at the time that, you know, people weren't interested in going to the church for comfort. People weren't trusting politicians, and a lot of kind of disbelief and an untrustworthiness had kind of creeped into Irish society. So we decided to explore this alternative mode of belief, which is found particularly where I'm from in the inner city with women who visit psychic mediums quite regularly for advice and guidance. So for that piece, me and Lisa drew on our own personal experience again, and we've both visited psychic mediums both for the piece and outside of the piece, and from that there we made a piece about what it is to walk into someone's house and ask them to talk to a dead person for you, or to ask them to give you guidance about which way your future is going to unravel. This is a thing that happens. People go see psychic mediums quite regularly, and it's not really something that we discuss. It's always about whether or not the situation is true, whether it's false, whether these people are frauding other people and making money off grief. Instead, what we decided to do was make a show about what the actual process means.
So my visit to the psychic, it wasn't necessarily that I wanted to speak to a dead person. I think I was looking for comfort and support, and it just helped me to realise that things are okay. I think our generation want to achieve everything by a certain time, and you're always unsatisfied with what you have, and you're seeking and seeking and seeking. And for me, going to see a psychic medium was just to gain kind of reassurance that everything is okay. Relax, enjoy it, live in the moment. I don't need to seek more.
So it was interesting to kind of compare and contrast both of our experiences in terms of the research for Do You Read Me? Like, Lisa went and she found this comfort and this kind of awareness that things are going to happen and you need to kind of sit in and enjoy it as much as possible. Where I went, and the three psychic mediums that I visited as part of the process for Do You Read Me each told me that I was a psychic medium. So it was kind of funny to compare and contrast both those things and then compile them together and try and make a 1 hour long show that documented both of our journeys as well as the journey of a nation into one piece that would run for a week in the Fringe Festival.
And it's something that we hope to look at again and develop a little bit further, I think.
And then our third and most recent show that we made together was Death of the Tradesman, which was presented last year in Absolute Fringe Festival as well.
And we used the same methods and the same idea of personal connections to the story.
So my father is an unemployed carpet fitter, so our main gateway into the subject was his experience with both his trade and unemployment. He'd been largely unemployed for the last 5 years. So growing up, my father, who was from inner city Dublin, a similar area to mine, things couldn't have been more different for us in terms of education and background. He was one of seven. He only went to school till he was 12. Basically what happened then was, when you were confirmed, you were given a paper round or you were given something else, and it was a very exciting opportunity for him to at long last get his trade when he was about 16. So it was very interesting for me as the son of this tradesman to kind of create a piece that would document both his life and the life of many men in Ireland today, and the circumstance and what happened to them, and how they were told initially that they'd get nowhere in life without a trade, but then that was very suddenly taken away from them. I think what's very interesting about the work that I've been able to make with Talking Shop Ensemble these past few years is that there's a really interesting juxtaposition between the public and the personal. I think when people come see shows like Tradesmen and they see quite frank accounts of people's very personal situations, for example, it's understood that I'm the son of a carpet fitter. It's understood that the material has come from my own personal experience. I think that's what makes the show quite exciting and easy to sit back and listen to and relate to at the same time. So I started a conversation with Talking Shop again, and we decided to work together again on this subject. And from there then we decided to collaborate with another performer called Lauren Larkin, who's from Cabra in Dublin, and her father is an unemployed tiler. So basically we started on day one of rehearsals with all our own life experiences. We watched Death of a Salesman by Arthur Miller, and we decided that there was an interesting parallel there. So our kind of mode of operation for this production was to create a Willie and Linda, as seen in Arthur Miller's iconic text, but set them in Dublin and give Willie a trade instead of making him a salesman. So from there, we started developing that production piece, which was largely about what we'd like to describe as an army of men and the live register. And we premiered that in Absolute Fringe 2012.
And for the company, I suppose our roles were starting to be established. So at that, up until Tradesmen, I'd performed in every show and I produced this one.
Our flyers, we collaborated with a graphic designer called Sean Kennedy, and he made pay slips from social welfare checks, essentially. And that was where our copy was contained on. So it's been interesting for us as a company to kind of find our message, find our source material, and then utilise that in every single element of the production, in both its marketing and what you see on stage at the night.
I just think humour is such an important tool as well to help us to discuss the topics that maybe are hard to talk about. So it's just it's a communication tool. It gets people interested in you and opens them up to listening what you're about to explore.
I think when you're making work about real life, and if you're using real people's testimonies, or if you're interviewing people and wanting to add as much truth to your version of events as possible, it's impossible to escape the humour that is in every day. So, for example, with Death of the Tradesman, when we're making the show about a married couple and unemployment and, you know, a loss of livelihood and a loss of confidence and almost, you know, the destruction of a relationship because of all these different factors, it's impossible to not laugh at the hilarious kind of like quips that your ma says to your dad in the kitchen that everyone has heard from sitting on the stairs as a kid.
The neighbourhood gossip and the...
You know, just little things that you can key into and you remember. Like, you know, your mom describing the fact that Sharon across the street is going back to Spain for the second time in the same year. And how is she able and how is he able and God, aren't they marvellous. And all those different things that kind of culminate and paint the picture of the situation, which is ultimately possibly quite dark, but that darkness has light all around it, and it's impossible to avoid it, I think, if you're doing a good job at representing the situation. And I think in Talking Shop Ensemble, we know as well that people are ultimately coming to the theatre to be entertained, and people watch the news because they want to be informed, and we believe that the theatre is also informative as well as entertaining, but the onus always has to be, I believe, in entertaining the audience and making sure that they have a good time. So what we've been striving to do for the past few years, and what we will continue to try and do in the future, is get that balance right between, you know, the social document and the informative piece of theatre, but also something that's ultimately very entertaining. Luckily for us as a company, we've been supported in kind by organisations like Rough Magic, by the Abbey Theatre, and I think that's going to be something that's going to continue throughout the country and hopefully develop in a much bigger way, because the big guys really need to get under the little guys and give them a hand, because, you know, there's not enough to go around.